supposed to hate Tucker Carlson because he's an anti-Semite and he's this. I know you're not an anti-Semite. I 100% know you're not an anti-Semite.
No.
Yeah. No, that's what my point being is that.
I would just say so.
My point being is that, like, if it's anti-Semitic to point out that Bibi Netanyahu is evil incarnate, then you know what? I don't know what to say to people anymore. I mean, all you have to do is just open your eyes. Just literally open your eyes. Open your heart for 1 minute.
Yeah.
And realize, you know,
it's such an obvious lie. It's like, who's even intimidated by that anymore?
My point is like, how is it possible that they're dividing us on things like that?
I agree.
And I can tell you how it's possible. It's the distraction that is being created by a handful of individuals and the people that work for them to keep us divided through our algorithm.
Sounds anti-Semitic to me. What people? What people are trying to keep us divided, Hunter? Who's they exactly? Look, Bibi Netanyahu being evil, it really is. Like, okay, it is astonishing that people won't just admit that or say that out loud, but it's also like saying the sky is blue. I don't actually give credit to people saying it. I just am deeply suspicious of people who won't. And so, yes, Bibi Netanyahu is evil. That doesn't mean Hunter Biden isn't. Do you understand? Who's trying to divide us? The reason that these words have so much power is entirely because the left has gone completely insane and for the last decade decided that any act of anything other than basically abject submission to whoever claims minority position, whoever claims oppression, you're not allowed to criticize them in any way, even if the criticism has absolutely nothing to do with the immutable characteristic that makes them a oppressed minority or whatever else. You have to be destroyed over it. See, that's the table that's been laid that we're all now eating at. It's not just that anti-Semitism is such a vile thing. That follows along racism being such a vile thing or misogyny being such a vile thing. When in reality, all of these things are fabricated nonsense from people who want to shut you up by labeling your comments something negative when, in fact, it is just the truth and reality. So, again, I don't feel like we need Hunter Biden to tell us this. I don't feel like he's a hero for saying this. I don't feel like it's something particularly to celebrate or to congratulate. Why is Hunter Biden saying this supposed to be newsworthy or important or valuable? It's not. It's just not. It really is just evidence of the fact that Hunter Biden is not obligated by his current position to lie to us. Like, that's really all that's going on here. And people are unfortunately so starved for just basic honesty and truth that they will celebrate Hunter Biden as a truth teller for saying the sky is blue and grass is green. Really, it's just an indictment of the rest of our culture who refuse to acknowledge that and will call you anti-Semitic for saying it. So, yeah, again, whether it's AOC, and we'll get to the videos later, AOC, or anybody on the left claiming that you were never locked down and nobody was ever fired for racism and defund the police never actually happened. Yeah, all of these things actually happened. And yes, the left was the tip of the spear, was the force by which all of American culture has been held hostage, where you're not allowed to say certain things, you're not allowed to express certain conclusions, you're not even allowed to express certain information that could lead to certain conclusions, because otherwise you must hate, insert whatever type of person. You were happy to contribute to that. You were happy to perpetuate that. Now, those same rules you applied to everybody else are being applied to you, and suddenly you recognize how bad it is. That's not anti-Semitism. Well, wasn't he literally last week telling Nick Fuentes that it was racism to talk about crime rates in the black community? How is that any different? Hunter Biden is full of crap. I'm sorry that the Alex Jones Network has to be the one to tell you this, but it's obvious and true. And just look at what he says to Tucker versus what he said to Nick Fuentes. You'll see he's not over and above this. He's not a free speech warrior that just wants to tell the truth and is sick of everybody getting in the way with all these claims. He'll call you a racist for talking about crime amongst the black community, but he doesn't want you talking about anti-Semitism.
ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazole, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazole is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazole studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Please do share that link and share our content however you can. We really do appreciate it. Cannot thank you enough for supporting us by either sharing our content, just hitting that like button, and of course, going to the alexjonesstore.com. Helps us stay on the air and get our great guests, like my guest, Austin Franco. Austin Franco can be followed on X at AustinFranco123 and on Instagram at Austin.Franco with a zero instead of an O at the end. You may know him. He's in a lot of trouble. He's in a lot of trouble these days from the power structures in America for daring to suggest that he wouldn't want to work for somebody of a Jewish persuasion. And since then, boy, things have gotten crazy, haven't they, Austin? Thank you so much for coming on the show, sir.
Yeah, it's good to meet you, Harrison.
Very nice to meet you. And I can't even keep up with everything happening to you right now. There's like hidden video camera of people spying on you, trying to, you know, film you. Yeah, yeah. Can you just lay it out from your perspective? What's happened? Like what happened? What has the timeline been between you sort of rejecting this job offer to where we are now? Can you tell us your story?
Yeah. So after I rejected the job offer with Einhorn, about a month or so afterwards, you had the AIM undercover interview. And then after that is when I decided to go on Pierce Morgan, because I was like, all right, you know, they're going to interview me no matter what. I might as well say what I want to say and do it on a big enough platform where people can make their minds up for themselves.
And of course, Pierce Morgan kicked you off, didn't he? Sort of ended the interview earlier than he should have, which is a little, the name of his program is Uncensored, which, you know, maybe needs a new name or something, because clearly a little bit of censorship still exists there. And I've read that you've been kicked out of your house. I mean, is that true? What's the story there?
Yeah. So originally what happened was, back when the original event happened with Einhorn, was I was going to go on podcast, but my parents were like, if you go on a podcast, we're kicking you out. So I was like, okay, let's wait for things to die down. And then maybe we can reconsider in the future when, you know, things are less heated. So that's ultimately what happened. And then after, you know, I went viral on Pierce, they were like, you know, you got to get out. You know, we can't have you here anymore. We've got reporters at our house. We're getting blowback again. My dad had to take his page down again on his law firm website. And then my mom was also getting heat as well. So I think they were just kind of done with it at that point, and thought it would be better if they distanced themselves from me.
Well, that's troubling to hear. I obviously don't agree with that. That's what is it about? So let's again start from the beginning. So if people don't know what we're talking about or who Einhorn is, so Gabe Einhorn owns a company, and I'd heard sort of conflicting stories. I'd heard that he was sort of pestering you and sort of kept asking you and kept going, oh, you want it? And finally, it was sort of out of exasperation that you said, look, I just don't want to work for Jews, and you're Jewish, this is why, if you really want an answer. Am I mischaracterizing that, or like what was the character there? And then we'll pick it up from what happened after that. But what was the relationship between you and Gabe Einhorn, and was he pressuring you, or how did that all work out?
Yeah, so I originally applied for the job. I think it was maybe 2-3 weeks before I sent the message, And he kept pestering me, asking me, you know, to attend his group interviews. And I think it was Sunday night when he had the interview, and I didn't show up because I had work. And then he sent me a follow-up text. I think it was either one, two, or three follow-up texts. I'm not exactly sure. I'd have to go back and look. And I was just like, okay, you know what? What's the best way to make sure this guy doesn't respond to me again? I knew he was Jewish prior to the interview, and that's partly why I didn't, you know, decide to work for the company. I was like, not only am I not getting paid, I also have had bad experiences with Jews. This is probably the last thing I want to do. And so I basically said, I don't want to work for a Jew. Thank you for the opportunity. I was like, I don't want to work for a Jew. Thanks. That was the exact quote. So, I was just trying to be nice about it, in the sense that he knew the reason why I didn't want to work for him. A lot of companies are just like, sorry, we can't hire you. Right. And by providing him a specific reason, he was like, okay, this is exactly why he doesn't want to work for me. At least we know.
And probably he's thinking, hey, if that's how he feels, I don't want him working for me either. Think that would work. And so then it gets interesting, because then you have some inputs for some very powerful figures. But just sticking on that, what was the react like when you sent it? Were you thinking like, this is kind of an offensive thing that I'm saying? I'm just wondering what your mindset is. Again, not to be like, are you an anti-Semite? But like, were you thinking this would become a big deal? Were you thinking this would maybe piss him off? Were you trying to be a little trollish? I'm just wondering like what you thought the reaction would be versus what the reaction was.
So I originally intended to do it on the phone call, because, I'd been kind of testing these things out prior, seeing what the kind of culture and prevailing sentiment was on, Israel and the Jewish people. Like, you just say certain things at work, among friends, kind of gauge the reaction to understand where things are. And based on things like the Epstein files, the war in Iran, and, AIPAC as well, and what I had been seeing on social media, I was like, okay, I think we're reaching a point where if they were to try to cancel me or do anything against me, this is going to completely backfire on them.
Hmm.
So I wasn't inclined originally to go and post it in text format. I was originally going to try it out over the call, but I couldn't make the call. So I was like, the interview. So I was like, okay, this is probably not a good idea. Let's just leave it. And I kind of forgot about it. And then he messaged me, and I was like, all right, there's the conceivable possibility here that this goes viral. And there are two options here for Cornell, assuming I go through with this. One is they expel me, which I don't think they do. The university I'm attending at Cornell is a public, it's the ILR college. So it's run by the SUNY system, which is the New York college system. So I knew I had free speech protection, and I didn't think Cornell would expel me. And the second option I ran through was that if Cornell doesn't expel me, what does this indicate to me about Jewish support in America and Jewish power, specifically in the institutions, if they don't expel me? And it certainly means to me, if they don't do that, that there is weakening support for Israel and the Jewish cause in America. So that's kind of what prompted me. I was kind of like, okay, I have this prediction, I have this theory, right? Let's test it out. Let's see what happens. And, I also had experiences as well, but I was kind of curious to see where things would go. So.
Yeah, that is very interesting. I think the response has been a little bit odd. I think it's not been what people expected, that, you would be roundly condemned and, basically be living on the street at this point. Of course, they got you kicked out of your house. So there is, some of that. And again, I want to get back to that, because I find it so ridiculous. But on the other hand, you've gotten a ton of support, right? I mean, in your experience, as you're receiving it, are you getting more hate or more support?
More support, to be honest. And I think that's where we're headed, is people are kind of done with the cancellation culture and people saying, oh, you have a bad view, we're going to ruin your life. So I'm glad people are banding together and collectivizing.
And, interestingly, it was Gabe Einhorn that then published a tweet that basically was like reflecting that. He was going, hey, basically, to my fellow Jews, here's a little temperature check for you. I currently have people saying they don't want to work for Jews. Like, hey, maybe, this problem of anti-Semitism is actually pretty big. Like, and he said, I don't want to destroy the kid's life. It wasn't like an attack against you. It didn't seem from the beginning. It seemed more like a warning shot to the Jews. Just go, hey, guys, here's what the current you know, culture is around universities, you know, are attempts to correct this are not succeeding. Our attempts to, you know, fire the Columbia president have not, you know, succeeded in stopping people from saying stuff like this. And then who was it that basically said, no, you need to be a tough Jew. You need to let these people know that we'll destroy their lives. I'm blanking on the name, right? Because it wasn't Andreessen. Who was it that then responded to Gabe Einhorn?
Joe Lonsdale.
That's right. Joe Lonsdale.
I think he's the co-founder of Palantir.
Which is also extremely concerning that this is the mindset of the people that that run Palantir. And it was this deeply sort of aggressive, offensive, you need to make them scared of Jews kind of comment. And I wonder, as a very young guy, I mean, I'm only, you know, 36, but even as I was coming up, I think I have a different view of race and religion than older people do. And as a young person, I imagine you've grown up your entire life hearing the most vicious, vile, hateful things about white people. It's got to be hard to then be told, like, but you're not allowed to say anything else about anybody else. Was that a part of sort of your calculus going into this? Because I see that myself, and I even change the way I talk about stuff where I go, okay, people get now, this isn't from a place of hatred or, you know, racial hatred or whatever. This is playing by the current rules. This is fair is fair. And if we're going to be demonized for our group, then don't be angry if your group gets demonized in the exact same way. How much of that was going through your mind?
I don't know if that specifically was related to me deciding to put in writing, you know, I don't want to work for a Jew, thanks. But it is certainly something that is in the back of my mind. But specifically for the Einhorn stuff, I don't think it was related at all. That was more related to, let's see what happens if we kind of like throw this bomb in here, right? Mm. And, you know, let's see if it hits or not.
Hmm. Oh, it hit. it clearly hit.
So
what was that like? I mean, when did you first see that tweet and what happened after that? How did you first become aware that this was becoming a bigger story?
Yeah, people were reaching out to me over text, people I knew. And I had an X account tied to my Google account, but that one was suspended for some reason, like months prior. I don't know why. I think they thought it was a bot account. So I had to create a new account to address the situation because I was like, you know, I'm garnering all this media attention. Let me, you know, put my side of the story out there.
And so, I mean, what was your initial reaction? Like when you see this happening, it's kind of a weird experience, right? Because you're probably on X or looking at this stuff. Suddenly it's your name being talked about. Like how did that impact? Were you nervous? Were you excited? Like what went through your mind when you realized that this was in fact becoming a national story?
I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, it was probably the most fun I'd had in a while. So
to be honest,
I mean, I kind of enjoyed it.
You weren't scared. You weren't scared by the tough Jews. You weren't cowed into a submission by Joe Lonsdale. Really? I'm shocked.
No, I was kind of looking at my life, not in like a bad way, but just looking at the cards on the table and realistically assessing, okay, what's the prospects? I have a job and a family, you know, I can get a house and all those things. And I didn't really see a future, to be honest. And when that happens, and I think it's happening for a lot of young white men, for instance, you're going to see more drastic moves, probably more drastic in the future than what I'm even doing. Mm. Just because the cards on the table are not there. The social contract of, you know, being able to reproduce, to have kids, all those things have kind of been wiped off the table, given to other people from foreign countries. So the end result is this, is you basically have a bunch of men who are like, okay, I have no future. I'm going to have to take pretty extreme actions to have any semblance of upward mobility. And so that's kind of where I was at. I was like, what is my life going to look like 5 years down the road, right? Am I going to have a nice job, right? Am I going to have a family? I might have a family, but, you know, am I going to have a nice job? Am I going to be able to provide for them, right? And live a good life. And I didn't really see it there. And this is not coming from like a place of mental illness or anything. It's just realistically assessing the situation and saying, okay, what's going to be the best outcome here? And I was like, we have this golden opportunity right here to garner some sense of attention and fame. Although, you know, certain people might hate you and certain people might love you, but this is probably your best shot at kind of making something of yourself, which you otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah, and I totally get that. So you're basically, you're weighing sort of the options. You're going, okay, one option is I keep my mouth shut. I do something I don't really want to do. And at the end of that road, there's nothing really. You're not, you know, it's like, what's the reward for that? Nothing? Okay, why would I choose that? I'll take this risk that may turn out badly, but has a chance to turn out well. The other way, you're just guaranteed nothingness, right? You're guaranteed grayness. Yep. You're guaranteed to work a job you might not like for people that you don't respect for very little money. It's, you know, it's not a good option. So, you know, you take the chance. And I, you know, I think you're right. I think young people are, and I think this goes to why they're choosing socialists and communism. I think people are just going, we got to do something here. And my current, you know, what's currently being presented to me as options is not worth it. I'm going to try to make my own option here. My third option.
Yeah,
that's super interesting. And of course, you've gotten a ton of support, but the backlash is huge. And I want to remind people again, what you did was simply say, I don't want to work for Jews. Why do you think that is being treated as if you like actually physically tried to shove a Jew into a gas chamber? Because, I mean, they're trying to destroy your life, right? I can understand going, that's kind of a nasty thing to say. I'm not sure if I would have said it or, you know, hey, doesn't sound like a guy I'd want to be friends with. Okay, fine. That is a reasonable. But this whole like, we must destroy them. We must teach them a lesson. We must follow them around and make sure they never get a job. What is this overwhelming response to what is a maybe objectionable, but not very evil thing to say? It's just a preference of yours. Why is the reaction so overwhelming?
I think it's because, to be honest, if you go back through history, you know, white people were able to create civilizations prior to the medieval ages, when the Jews kind of took on the role of banking and money changers, similar to the Knights Templars. They had not really created any civilizations. So I think when it comes down to it, is that the Jew kind of needs to live off of the Jewish community specifically, kind of needs to live off of white civilization. I'm not saying that's a bad or good thing, just, you know, what you're observing throughout history, right? And white people, if they were to say, okay, we're no longer going to work with Jews, right? That means they no longer have positions of power. You know, we're not going to help them out. And they're kind of going to be stuck out in the mud, because it's not like the immigrants coming in. It's not like the Muslims like them either. So they're looking at this situation saying, okay, if white people cut us off, who are we going to be left to? Right. You know, the Muslims aren't going to help us. The Africans aren't going to help us. We're shit out of luck.
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to, is I think this is, it's, they see it as a slippery slope, where when, you know, white people decide we're going to freely associate again, there's no longer a place for them in society. And I'm speaking more generally, not, you know, my beliefs or anything like that, just predictions.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like, you know, talking about the historic role of Jews in medieval Europe, it's not a judgment one way or the other. It's just how it was. It's a fact. And in fact, when you look into that and you actually understand it, it makes a lot of sense. You're a landless people. You don't have a power structure that can protect you. So you have to rely on basically paying for protection from the countries that you're in. So, of course, you're going to care a lot more about having and retaining money than people who can trust their government, to get justice for it. Like when you really look into it, it's not saying, oh, Jews love money because they're evil. It's like, well, there's a historical, you know, paradigm to this, and the paradigm is currently changing. I think that's super interesting. So you don't think it's, you don't think it's like a legitimate, like, oh my God, the Holocaust is coming. It's more just like, if we don't retain our positions here, there's nowhere else to go. And you know, we really don't have any other option here, which again, I wonder, then why is the response so outraged and so vicious and vengeful? It seems like if that was really the concern, they'd go, ooh, we better tamp the brakes a little bit and stop being so aggressive. But they're having the opposite reaction. Yeah. It doesn't seem to be working out for them, does it?
No, frankly, I'm not exactly sure why they're doing that. Though there is something I've noticed, is that you now have leftist Jews, especially on the Free Palestine side, who are now advocating openly for free speech. And this is kind of the dichotomy. You know, you have the Zionist Jews and then the anti-Zionist Jews. But a lot of these leftist Jews being like, oh, we should advocate for free speech. You know, we're anti-Zionist. And I think this is kind of where the Jewish movement is probably going to head, is kind of throwing in the towel on Israel, at least the smarter ones, and saying, we're going to advocate for free speech. We're going to be these beacons of liberty. That will allow them to preserve their power base a lot more effectively than kind of the, you know, let's go keep genociding Palestinians in Israel.
Right. Well,
at least that would be my take on it.
And is that how they sort of gained their power base in America in the first place? I mean, this is the thing that doesn't make any sense to me is all of the Joe Lonsdale types who are like, we have to like basically force America, threaten America into listening to us. It's like America has never had a problem with Jews. Our entire existence, Jews have been a welcomed member of our society. And, you know, maybe you had like the country club wouldn't let you in, but certainly nothing systemically, you know, keeping them out in hundreds of years that that's the case. And certainly in the last 50 years, Jews have been celebrated everywhere in a lot of time, you know, in a lot of ways, because they tended to be the, you know, free speech side and would, you know, come out and talk about the value of, you know, not, you know, avoiding totalitarianism. Why would they not just embrace that and continue that, knowing that America is a perfectly safe respite for them, a perfectly safe place for them to be? They now seem to be almost trying to end that in order to force people to go to Israel. I mean, the pro-Zionist Jews very explicitly say sort of this vacation in America is over and it's time to remember who you are. You're not American. You're a Jew. And we've got, you know, there's a clip from earlier today or yesterday, the congressman basically saying, you know, we're not really American, we're Israeli, and we need to support Israel over and above everything else. Again, this all seems like very bad strategy to me, because Americans love Jews and always have because of their valuable and positive contribution to our culture. But now it seems like they're going for this entirely different method of like trying to shut us up by force. It's not going to work, dude. I don't know what to tell you. But what's your take on that whole the whole shift of the Jewish community here in America right now?
I think it's, you know, it partly comes down once again to this schism between the leftist Jews and the rightist Jews. And we're kind of going to have to see how that develops over the next, you know, year or two. I don't really have a solid answer at this moment. The one thing I can say, though, is I do have more respect and, you know, my experiences as well, both with anti-Zionist Jews and Zionist Jews, is that the Zionist Jews are very honest about what their goal is. With the leftist Jews, you kind of don't know exactly what their goal is. It's kind of all over the place. But the Zionist Jews are very clear. We want a place for Israel and want a homeland for the Jews. Like, at least you know what you're dealing with there. But the leftist Jews, there's no clear motive when it comes down to it. You have some advocating for free speech. You have some that are just anti-Zionist. There's no coherent thought process or goal within the movement. So it makes it a little bit more difficult to track and follow.
Well, so much of it is contradictory. You know, if you're in favor of immigration, but you know, you let in a bunch of Muslims and suddenly, oh my God, we can't allow Muslims. It's like, well, who brought them in the first place? Like, what the hell? You know, everything is sort of changing. And just like we were talking about when it comes to, you know, talking about medieval times or whatever else, it's like, this is just the fact, this is the way it is. And trying to force your own ideas about how the world should work onto a world that works differently, it's just, it's never going to work out for you. So really for the, and you know, I think the argument should come from a place of just like American nationalism. But even if you wanted to make the argument on the case of like what's good for Jewish people, what's going on right now is not good for Jewish people. And they bet. And I've been saying this for a very long time. And I keep getting called an anti-Semite for being like, maybe Jews should chill out on the whole, let's destroy the lives of everybody opposing us. That's not a good way to ingratiate yourself with the population. But I'm an anti-Semite for saying so. We're going to be back on the other side. I've got to go to a quick commercial break, a couple minutes long. We'll be back with Austin Franco. He's my guest. Follow him on X at AustinFranco123 and on Instagram at Austin.Franco. The O in that is a zero instead of the letter O. We'll be back on the other side again to talk about the changing landscape of American culture and how we deal with a multicultural society. The answer is you got to let everybody have their say. You can't shut up white people just because we're white.
A microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha ha ha, wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live, the Alex Jones Network, AlexJonesLive.com. Of course, you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, you can get a free cooler with every order over $100. So if you spend $100 or more, you'll get a free cooler with your order. It's a very cool cooler, no pun intended. And of course, we have just incredible products. 50% off CMOS capsules, creatine powder, turmeric gummies, smelling salts, the War Cry smelling salts, extremely powerful, most powerful ones I've ever tried. 50% off all of those, 40% off many more of our products, and 30% off practically all of them. And this is the final week to enter to win both the 2026 Ram Laramie 2500 and the 2026 Ford Super Duty F-250, plus $20,000 in cash. For every $100 you spend, you get 10,000 entries to those drawings and a free cooler right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Go there and shop today, because as you may recognize, that despite all of the rhetoric of victory, cancel culture is still very much a real thing. And thank goodness Alex Jones figured out a long time ago how to keep us totally independent of everybody except for you, our audience, as long as we're fulfilling your requirement of telling the truth and bringing you the stories that are important to you. Then we hope you go and support us at thealexjonesstore.com. That way, we don't have anybody else bothering us about what we cover, how we cover it. We don't care about who thinks what we're doing is wrong or bad or we should stop. We're going to keep telling the truth no matter what, as long as you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, this is just as important as it was when we got kicked off the internet in 2018, because without the store, without your support, we go away. It's as simple as that. We are a capitalist endeavor at the end of the day, and we bring you the best possible supplements, products, everything is amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. My guest is a victim of cancel culture. Well, an attempted victim of cancel culture, I guess. Do you feel as though you've been canceled, Austin? I've always felt as though canceling required the participation of the person being canceled. I've always thought it was funny when people are like, wasn't that person canceled? And it's like, what does that even mean? It doesn't even mean anything. It just means people were mad at him, I guess. But you clearly have not been canceled. You're on this show. You're increasing your social media presence. Do you feel as though you've been canceled, or have you withstood the canceling, Austin?
I think the overwhelming support that I received kind of was the final nail in the coffin for cancel culture. I don't think it's going to work anymore, to be honest.
Well, and it's amazing because this sort of like this, your gamble has paid off, because it seems like, I mean, essentially you looked around at the landscape, the cultural landscape, and you sort of thought, you know, if I say this, I could get in trouble, but I think we've moved far enough that I'm actually going to get a lot of support. And then you made the statement, and sure enough, they went public with it. They tried to destroy your life, and you've gotten a lot of, you know, support since then. But that hasn't stopped them from trying various methods of destroying your life, yeah, including luring you to this undercover sting with, what is it called, Accuracy in Media, I think is the organization. How did this come about? And I saw you post a little bit about how they sort of dangled the carrot for you. They sort of said, oh, we want to help you. We think what happened was terrible. Just come talk to us and we'll give you money. I mean, how did that work out? How did they lure you to this conversation in the first place?
Yeah, so I got like a letter in the mail from Hope Parker, and I was like, okay, they're offering money, might as well go check it out. So on my birthday, July 1st, I went over to go see her at this restaurant area. It was like this little pavilion, and we were outside. She had her laptop out, and she was like, I just went on this conversation for about, I don't know, it was 20 minutes or so. And they cut a lot of it out, but I was skeptical during the interview, and I mentioned that, you know, I don't want to say too much or say something that could be deemed a hate speech or something that could actually get me kicked out of Cornell. So I was a little bit skeptical during the interview of what was going on, but they kind of lured me in, you know, going back to your question, with the 5K, being like, we want to help you, we'll provide jobs. They actually asked during the interview, like, what I was specifically looking to go into. I said I was looking to go into consulting and politics. I think those were the two I mentioned. I'd have to get the audio recording. If we go to litigation and discovery with Free Expression Foundation, that's probably, hopefully, when we can release the full audio recording, if we can get that on our hands.
So do you have a lawsuit that you're filing against them?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, the Free Expression Foundation actually sent out a demand letter. You can go find it on X, and it's $7,500 in damages, like, for the law, and then I think $50,000 in punitive damages, but that's just the demand letter. So hopefully, as we venture into discovery and maybe litigation, we can hopefully reveal more information to the public, either when the lawsuit is ongoing or after the lawsuit.
Well, I think that's great. Are you fundraising for that, or can people contribute to that effort?
Free Expression Foundation actually gets donors, so they were willing to do it pro bono, so which is very generous of them, to be honest.
Which, again, look, if you're a Jewish person and you're trying to hire somebody and they say, I don't want to work for a Jew, just don't hire them. Like, what's the big deal? It's like, okay, you don't want that person, don't hire them. No big deal. It's the overwhelming response. It's the Joe Lonsdale. We have to get fear, strike fear in their hearts. It's the fact that you've got, like, Leo Terrell, who's a official government, in a government position as anti-Semitism czar or whatever he does, some position that shouldn't exist in the first place, but it does exist. And he's like, this person should be never hired for anything ever. In other words, your life should be taken. You should be relegated. Like, really, you should be in prison for the rest of your life for daring to suggest merely that you personally don't want to work for Jews. That, again, the overwhelming response doesn't make any sense. It's totally incoherent and obviously backfiring. But that alone, Leo Terrell, and we've seen the DOJ. I mean, they went after the girl who, threw a drink on the IDF guy in that university in Florida. I mean, they had the university locked down. They got her kicked out of school. They want to destroy her life. It's the destroying the life over mere disagreement that is so objectionable to an American. So again, it's not even, you don't even have to agree with what Austin Franco said. And I literally don't feel one way or another about it. I don't care. Literally, you don't want to work for Jews, don't work for Jews. Who cares? But if you're, you know, all upset about this, what makes it such a big deal? Why are they so desperate to destroy your life? And how did you feel about Leo Terrell, this government figure, saying you should never be hired for any by anybody ever? How did you take that?
I'll be honest, it's hard to take these people seriously. I kind of see it like a clown show. You know, who has the biggest red nose? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Like, you're looking at these people. You have full grown adults here telling a 19-year-old kid, we're going to make you unemployed. Like, it's just so ridiculous. Like, you kind of have to laugh at it. And it's the same thing with Piers Morgan. I was like, you know, I went on there. I was like, okay, this will be interesting. But it was like, you're just going to sit here. I don't know how old you are, right? I don't know. What is he, 60, 50, whatever, right? And you're telling me, I'm like 40 years younger than you. Oh, you're such a bad guy. Like, come on. Like, for saying you don't want to work for a Jew. Like, it's just, it's so ridiculous. And you literally just look at these people like they're clowns. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to kill me? Like, okay. I'm just dead. Like, there's not much you can do there. it's funny. It really is. It's just like a big comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's very silly. And but I mean, obviously they do still have power. And that's the other thing is, like,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
Leo Terrell, he's an official government figure saying this crap. Joe Lonsdale, head of Palantir, with the way Palantir is being incorporated into our government system. I don't want these people with this level of, like, hyper paranoia and ethnic in-group, like, vengeance on their minds. Like, why? Like, that, not that they're Jewish, but that they have this mindset is so poisonous. Leo Terrell, he's a black guy, but, like, still, this mindset is so poisonous, so destructive. They've got to abandon it. And I think your case does a lot to expose how truly silly all of this is.
Yeah, it's really pathetic, to be honest. You would think the people in power would be a little bit more mature when it comes to these things. But, I mean, clearly they're not, so...
Well, they're hypocrites too, because at the same time, what was going on with you, it's like you had some of the same, like you had Gabe Einhorn responding to people going, oh, you want to work for a Jew?
Yep.
Excellent. I'll hire you. It's like, well, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a total double standard. It's total hypocrisy, but it just doesn't matter, I guess. I guess they just don't see it. They don't care.
No, it's whatever, right? You know? Yeah.
No, it is utterly wild. I mean— Again, Palantir, like, what is your take on Palantir? How like, do you think these, because clearly they recognize, okay, you know, the culture is moving away from us, but they're clearly not moderating their extremism in any way. It's like, where do you think this goes from here? Do you think these people are going to, like, solidify their power and, you know, wreak vengeance, or are they going to have to chill out a little bit? I mean, what is the path forward here?
I mean, it's possible. It depends on how much power they actually have. You know, if they had a bunch of hard power, like, say, in the Soviet Union with the Stasis, yeah, they could just send you to the gulags or kill you. I don't think they have that level of power yet. It's certainly possible they do. They may in, you know, a year or two. But I think right now they do have to appeal to the culture, at least until they can garner enough power where they can just, you know, kill off their enemies or just be completely violent if they want to. You know, there comes a point where you don't need to care for public opinion, but I don't think we're at that point yet.
Well, but they'll find ways to make you pay. Obviously,
yes.
You've been kicked out of your house. Can you describe that? Well, and let's clarify something, because I just saw a headline today that you think 5G is, well, let me correct myself. You're aware of the effects of 5G on the human brain, and that has something to do with you getting kicked out of the house. Obviously, this is InfoWars. This is the Alex Jones Network. We are perfectly aware of the effects of 5G and the possibility of manipulation through the 5G network. So I don't even question that, but I do question the reporting and whether it was just made to try to discredit you as a schizo conspiracy theorist because people don't know about 5G. But what is the truth of that? Can you give us the background of what that headline's about?
Yeah, so I signed a lease after I got kicked out of my parents' house for an apartment up in Ithaca, New York. And I arrived there and I saw this, like, it was this diamond-shaped panel. And I was like, you know, that looks awfully similar to something like a 5G tower. So it was up on the roof and I climbed out my window onto the roof and the panels. And I looked behind it, right? And there it says, it's like 5 gigahertz. It's got all the details and everything. Granted, it was, you know, an older model, but it was running on the 5G gigahertz network or frequency. And I took out my EMF reader, my tri-field EMF reader, and this thing was off the charts. So it was originally at like 2, which is, it's like, what is it, 2? It's like 100 or 10 times more than the recommended frequency on the paper they supply when you buy the tri-field meter.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay, when I was at home, when my parents were away on vacation, I wrapped our Wi-Fi router in tinfoil. And I know this is like probably like, oh my God, this is very
normal. Like,
So I was doing it because I wanted to have more vivid dreams. And after I put the tinfoil on, I was having these like amazing dreams. It was really great. It was far enough away that it wasn't impacting me metabolically or anything. And then we took it away and I no longer had any dreams. So I was like, okay, let's take the tinfoil going back to the apartment. Cause I was at my house originally, and this is where the dream stuff and the Wi-Fi router, but going back to the apartment, I was like, okay, let's wrap this thing up in tinfoil. And so that's what I did. And then I had my EMF reader in hand and this thing spiked up to 11. And I like started getting like throbbing in my head. Wow. And I was like, okay, this isn't working. We should probably just move out. I don't want to be around this thing anyway. So I moved to another apartment in town. It was a little bit cheaper and, you know, moved out within the day. I actually stayed at a hotel overnight just to get away from the frequency. So I know it's kind of crazy, but.
but it's really not. And I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's like stories of, you know, an elementary school right by a cell phone tower where like 50% of the kids get brain cancer. This stuff is not safe and you should be aware of it.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And like we recently stayed in a house that had just for some reason, just like very thick plaster walls and like very thick wooden roof. It was like this old, like old wood that doesn't even exist anymore. That's super thick that actually stops the signal. And I mean, literally you walk in there and it like feels, do you feel like something has been like the white noise that's constantly present is finally turned down. You're like, whoa, exactly. Silence.
Yep.
Yeah. You can feel it.
Like this ringing in your head. Yeah.
Yeah. You go into a Faraday cage and you're like, oh my goodness, it's quiet again. Absolutely. I totally get that. But of course, how did they find out about that? How did the newspapers find out about that? And of course they twisted into, you were blaming 5G for scrambling your brain. And so they kicked you out because you're crazy. Obviously, that's not the right story. But do you know how they found out about this?
I posted on X.
Oh, okay.
So I posted on X the tri-field meter and then the 5G array too. So
it's a real deal. You know, people really know this.
Yeah.
But obviously, they sort of tried to blame that for you getting kicked out of your house. But so was it people bothering your parents and they were like, we just don't want to put up with this? Did they find? Because I feel like I'm in scandal sometimes. My family has no idea. I mean, they're not on X and stuff. They're not following it. They don't know what the hell's going on. Why were your parents even aware of this? I guess once it went national, they would have found out. But can you just talk through sort of what happened with your parents? Because I find this to be extremely tragic.
Well, I mean, they have Jewish friends and, you know, family members who are online all the time who are telling them about it. And then, you know, my dad works for a law firm that has a lot of Jewish people in it. And, you know, he gets along with them well. He has no problems with them. He's not anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish in any capacity. Neither of my parents are. You know, these are my beliefs, no one else's. You know, you just kind of diverge over time. But our political beliefs and, you know, beliefs on race and all that. But they kind of just found out through other people. And then they saw the Piers Morgan stuff through other people as well, texting saying, hey, did you, you know, see your son was on Piers Morgan or do you see your son on X? He posted this. And then they would also hear from work as well saying, okay, we got to take your page down. Or, you know, my mom's boss had to talk to her about what was happening. So really just through other people. Otherwise, I think they would have, you know, kind of just carried on with their lives if it wasn't so viral.
And that's part of the pressure campaign, right? I mean, that's not all natural. Like you've got people probably calling their work and saying, hey, you know, you have this. And so it's like they didn't say anything. What you said wasn't even objectionable. But like this is how far the like guilt by association goes, that it's like they will try to get your parents fired because you said, I don't want to work for Jews. Again, that's what this is all about. I don't want to work for Jews. Thanks. Like, again, what is the big deal? How is this worth like? And hopefully you haven't broken communications with them. And I genuinely think like, you know, relationship with your parents is more valuable and important than any political stuff. But at the same time,
absolutely.
You know, the onus is on them, you know, kicking out their own son for doing this. I think that's a kind of shameful thing. Have you talked to them? Have you tried to educate them, perhaps, on why you hold the views that you hold? Have you gone down that hole at all?
Well, yes. I don't know if I should share this.
We don't have to get into the details. I just, to me, my perspective, if I'm like got all these people coming at me, I'm not thinking like, oh my God, my son is so bad. I'm thinking like, what the hell's going on here? Like, this is not an appropriate response.
Well, yeah. So to put this into perspective, just so people know, like my parents, there's a Holocaust museum in DC. Took me to the Holocaust Museum last Thanksgiving because they were kind of fed up with my views.
Okay.
And then they brought me there. And it didn't go so well. So I'm not going to say what happened, but, it did go so well. They were not happy.
It didn't
they
work,
actually
huh?
kicked me out then, too.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think to put this into perspective, like, they're not at all anti-Semitic. Like, obviously, why would they take me to the Holocaust Museum if they're anti-Semites? Right. That doesn't make much sense. Right.
But it's a vector to punish you. So, people, if they can't pressure you, then they'll try to pressure your parents. And, it's up to them to recognize and see what's actually going on here. But like, I'm the same way. I have a lot of Jewish friends. Everything I say on the air, I would say directly to their faces, including things like, hey, man, young people are not going to want to be working for you when your like entire ethnicity is inextricably tied to like a genocide going on and all this crazy stuff happening for their benefit. Again, they need to change their tactics, but that never seems to go over well. Those conversations never seem to go over well. But again, the response from the government, I mean, has there been any action by the government in terms of stopping you from getting a job or anything that you're aware of?
Not as of yet. Though I doubt most employers would touch me anyway, to be frank. Just after what happened. But I don't think they would have hired me anyway, just based on my skin color and me being male. So.
Well, there's that too, right? And that's the thing. I mean, 90% of jobs since COVID, it's like, oh, we're not going to hire you now because you're anti-Semitic, quote unquote. But it's like, well, you weren't going to hire me anyway because I'm a white Christian dude. So, the discrimination is real, which again, it's like if we're going to and this really is the thing is older people don't understand that like you grew up as a minority. I grew up as a minority going to public school in Houston. It was not white people and then like a black guy and a Hispanic guy. It was like a third, a third, a third. So I don't have any moral like, oh, the poor little black people. I'm like, no, it's like half the people in my school are black. I treat them like human beings like anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel the need to. It's almost an inverted white supremacy where white people go, oh, you can't talk about other races and we'll be fine. You don't worry about us. Don't concern yourself about the plight of white people. We'll always survive. We're white. And it's like, no, y'all, we are being discriminated against. We are being destroyed in a lot of ways. Yeah. We need to stand up for ourselves. So just as talk about that, just like being a young person growing up in this multicultural world that demonizes white people. This is a different world than older people know about or are aware of or grew up in. And they haven't seemed to update their own software to comply.
Yeah, they haven't gotten the DLC expansion pass.
Seriously.
Right?
Seriously.
Yeah. Listen, I think every other group, Jews, Indians, blacks, they all have in-group preferences. So this idea of a merit-based society really falls out the window when you have one group, specifically whites, who won't have an in-group preference. They're like, oh, we need to treat everyone equally, right? But then you have Indians who will just simply hire Indians because they're Indian, mm-hmm. right? You have blacks will do the same. You have Jews that will do the same. Asians will do the same, right?
Right.
So it's becoming increasingly difficult for white people to find and, get into positions of power because they're the only one treating everyone as an individual. They'll hire the Indian because, he's the best one,
right.
Just hypothetically speaking, right? Not saying that's actually the case, right? And then that Indian gets into power and he's like, well, I'm not going to hire the white person. I'm going to hire the Indian person.
Yeah.
So you eventually get to a point where you just have no white people in positions of power. And that's what we're seeing now. Like the whole DEI thing, I was like, this is not going to go away. I was telling an Asian friend I have here at Cornell. And I was like, even if they get rid of it, these traits, these biological traits and these preferences are already embedded in the management structures. It doesn't matter if you remove the program now. The cat is out of the box. The you know, white HR lady, the lesbian HR lady, is going to hire another lesbian HR lady, or the Indian HR lady is going to hire an Indian, right? It doesn't matter at this point. There's no way you get out of this other than a complete cleaning of the slate, in the sense that you return to a meritocracy where you just have one group. Like, if you just have white people, for instance, in America, not saying, this is what we should aspire to or anything, but if you just have white people, there's no in-group preference. Like, the Germans are not going to discriminate against the French or the English, right? Well, I mean, they might, given 100 years or so when, it's all white people, but that's besides the point, right? But the Asians will discriminate against the whites. The Indians will discriminate against the whites and vice versa. So you need to have a homogenous society if you want a meritocracy. Otherwise, you're going to have in-group preferences take place. And that's fundamentally why we don't have that anymore. We just have, people hiring their own kin because they prefer their own kin. So you just have to look at the biological realities and say, okay, over the long term, how is this going to play out?
100%. And again, the ultimate hypocrisy of all of this is, at the same time, the outrage about your tweet or your statement came out. Gabe Einhorn is literally, going, yep. Oh, you want to work for Jews? Great, we'll hire you. It's like, then what's the big deal? And to expect white people, especially young white people growing up now, not a majority, not in power, they don't turn on TV and see nothing but white people. They're growing up as, really, in a lot of cases, despised minorities, and they're being told, mm-hmm. but you're not allowed to say anything about it or have in-group preference. It's intolerable and it's unfair. It just simply is unfair.
Exactly.
And people aren't going to stand for it, and we shouldn't stand for it because it's unfair. And if we're going to have a multicultural society, then it's going to have to be genuinely multicultural, not every culture except for yours, which happens to be the founding culture and the culture that everybody else is supposed to assimilate to. So what's your next plan? You're still going to school. What's next for you, and how can people follow you and support you as you go along?
Yeah. I mean, support wise, I think, following me is good. I could conceivably start a podcast, though I don't know how good I would be at that. But I'm hoping to go into politics later in my life, make some tangible change for the people of this country. If you like what I say and you think I'm well-spoken, just reach out to, I try to answer as many DMs as possible. Try to be a voice for the people. So.
Well, you're a very brave young man, and very stalwart in resisting all this pressure. So I think what you're doing is very powerful, and represents a very interesting new paradigm that everybody better get used to, because it's not going anywhere. Certainly not with all the anti-white hate that we see coming down the pipe. Young people are not going to put up with it. Increasingly so. Incredible stuff. Austin Franco. Follow him on X at AustinFranco123. On Instagram, Austin.Franco with a 0 instead of an O. Thank you so much for being with us, sir.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind, it fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the shit and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next.
Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.